Now let's consider some of the ideas of Jeremy Bentham on government debt, but also financial intermediation and monetary policy. Bentham was a famous British philosopher and also a public figure, and perhaps in the history of ideas he's most important for being really the central figure of utilitarian thought. He wrote on a wide variety of topics, including punishment, animal welfare, the law, abolition of slavery, women's rights, free speech, and many others, and he also wrote a lot on economics. It seems he was one of those people who had an opinion on everything, but to read Bentham on virtually anything is really remarkably interesting and stimulated because he was one of the most brilliant men of his time. By the way, here's a drawing of what Bentham looked like. His short work, A Plan for the Augmentation of the Revenue, was published in 1794-95, and it was his first work to outline his thoughts on financial intermediation and government debt, and it's striking just how analytically and institutionally advanced it was for its time. To translate Bentham's ideas into modern terminology, I would say he wanted the government to have a greater role both as banker and also as financial intermediary. In essence, Bentham's plan was for individuals to hold small denomination government securities as a form of money. To put this in more modern terminology, imagine that instead of just holding dollar bills, that you also carried around some treasury securities. In essence, Bentham wanted the government to some extent, displace banks as intermediaries. Bentham argued that often the government was sounder and more solvent than banks, and that the government was backed by assets of more certain value. Bentham thought that these circulating notes could be more convenient. You can think of Bentham as putting forward a proposal, an earlier version, for what we might now call money market mutual funds, checkable ones, of course, and this would be equivalent to money market mutual funds backed by government securities. Except for Bentham, people would just hold the government securities directly, and they wouldn't even need the mutual fund as an intermediary. Think of this proposal as reaping gains from trade between the government and depositors or noteholders. In essence, the government is lowering its funding costs by funding itself also by this issuance of money, and at the same time, individuals are receiving more secure securities. You can think of this proposal in some regards as really blurring or blending together what is money and what is credit. In this world, credit of the government, like treasury securities, would begin to circulate as money. Bentham thought this would be an improvement for both sides in the transaction. Bentham did understand there was a potential danger of crowding out, so you could ask, well, if people are holding government securities rather than bank securities, that means there's less capital for private banks to lend out, and at some margin you have to ask, well, why not displace all of private capital and enterprise this way, and to have all intermediation essentially go through the government? Bentham thought there was a clear limit as to how far we should go with this process, and here's his explanation, and I quote, quote, "With regard to the general unfitness of government, the reason is obvious enough, and it is tolerably conclusive. It is the comparative want of personal interest, that indispensable whetstone to ingenuity and spur to vigilance. The individual acts for himself, the agent of government acts for others." In other words, Bentham didn't really want government to do everything or to control the entire supply of capital, but he never actually gives us any detailed analysis of where this point ought to stop. He simply says, we should take this as far as we should take it. Nonetheless, he was well aware of this issue. This wasn't just a one-off idea, but Bentham really did stick with this proposal and continued to promote it. In 1795-96, there was published another writing called Proposal for the Circulation of a New Species of Paper Currency. In this, Bentham was calling on the payment of interest on banknotes, ideally from a government bank, and using complex tables for calculating how much interest was due. One problem with Bentham's general idea is that if you're using treasury securities or government securities for small transactions, well, how is it that you calculate the interest due each time a piece of paper is handed over? Bentham came up with a rather complex proposal to have, in essence, tables calculating very small amounts of interest being put on the circulating notes. Arguably, this isn't exactly practical. In modern times, it may work out because we conduct so many transactions electronically. Nonetheless, Bentham very well understood the transactional inconveniences of calculating interest on circulating notes for small transactions, and he was very concerned to overcome those inconveniences because he thought there would be very large practical gains from shifting to this kind of system. His longest work on this general topic is called Abstract of Compressed View of a Trace, entitled Circulating Annuities. That was published in 1800. He spent a long time working on this. It's a longer work. It's more complex than the others. But again, it's the same basic idea, and here he's suggesting that the interest-bearing securities can be annuities which pay you something periodically over time once you have put up your initial money. Think of this again as blurring the difference between money and credit by having annuities circulate as currency. It can be debated whether Bentham's proposals, especially for his time, were fully practical. But to me, it's just remarkable how far ahead of his time he is, and how modern his analysis is, and how well he understands financial intermediation, the risks of such intermediation, both the potential gains and hazards of having government guarantees. And if you look to later discussions of similar topics, and whether interest-bearing securities should circulate as money, well, we find well in the middle of the 20th century, Milton Friedman writes on these topics. But if you compare Friedman to Bentham, well, Friedman is more advanced, but actually Bentham's discussions stand up pretty well as being consistent with a lot of what Milton Friedman says. There was an economist at the University of Minnesota, Neil Wallace. He wrote a lot of these topics on the 1980s. And again, if you compare Wallace and Bentham, Wallace is, like Friedman, more advanced. But what Bentham wrote so early on actually, again, stands up remarkably well. It's a testament to the very strong and insightful intellect of Jeremy Bentham. To read more on the economic ideas of Jeremy Bentham, I would start by referring you to the writings of William Stark, and in particular on these specific ideas, his introduction to Jeremy Bentham's Economic Writings, Volume 2, is invaluable. The writings themselves by Bentham are available through Google Books online, but if you want the book version, again, it's Jeremy Bentham's Economic Writings, Volume 2. For a comparison of Bentham's works to some more recent ideas in monetary economics, my book with Randall Krosner, Explorations in the New Monetary Economics, is, I suppose, the place to go. And in general, just on Jeremy Bentham, there is, of course, a very large amount. Just get started with Google.